Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. It is December 2nd, 2016. And normally on Fridays, I've been having Dana Durnford on. I was not able to connect with him this week. After his YouTube videos, I don't know if he's like decided I'm not a moral person or if maybe he's just busy, and I think he has to go to court. So I'm hoping that's what it is. I don't know. We haven't really talked. But in the interim, I actually met a friend of mine last night who I haven't seen in a little while. His name is Thaston Ricklin. He's from the Marshall Islands. And we were talking, and I said, hey, I don't think I'll be able to have Dana on tomorrow, so do you want to come on? And he said yes. So I'm super delighted. I've been attempting to get him on the air for the last year and a half since I've had the radio show. Thaston, thank you for joining us. Oh, man, are you there, Thaston? He's not there. Let me see if I can give him a call again. Hold on. I'm going to try this again. The call hung up right as he was about to speak, folks. So maybe the U.S. government does not want a Marshallese person on the air. But you know what? We're going to be like white on rice. We're going to call him back and see if the phone call will connect. I certainly hope so. Let's see. Here we go. Let's see if he's there. Hello? I don't know. It's not ringing. I hope he picks up. Maybe that's him.
Forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Hold on, folks. I'm going to be persistent on this one because Thaston is a real gem. He's calling my home line. Just a second. Thaston? Hey, so hang up and I'm going to call you from the radio show. Okay, thank you. Okay, there we go. Slow start when we have these kinds of things happen on the air right away. But, you know, the Marshall Islands was the place that was bombed the daylights out of by the United States. And as Thaston will tell you, there are still catastrophic birth defects happening all the time. Most of the children, more than one out of four of the children, are born with what do you call it? It's like a sty on their eye. They have like a tumor on their eye. And it is pretty serious. Let me give him a call and add up to the group so if he can come in here. We run our radio station off the Skype venue, and sometimes that provides us with some issues. And we don't know why that is, but it does happen. So we just have to grin and bear it, folks. But this is what you get when you get alternative radio. Thaston?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm glad I've been persistent. This is really great. Well, welcome
to
you.
Got me on the air.
I did, finally. So why don't you tell us what life is like. I mean, how many Marshallese are actually actively engaged in getting out the story? This is the stunning part, folks, because we all know what happened to the Marshall Islands. Everybody probably listening to this show is completely aware they got bombed the daylights out of.
I feel like that's what I'm here to do today, is to shed, you know, to go through the history, a little brief history, and then to show what we know and to show what we don't know, because there are a lot of, I don't know, I guess misrepresented information out there that's all that's been given to us. It's kind of like they kept it classified, and it's been under wraps for over 40 years, and then Bill Clinton decided to declassify some documents, and those are documents that I think two people on the Marshall Islands, maybe four people on the Marshall Islands have sat down and actually processed and gone through all the documents that kind of create our nuclear history. And so I've myself gone through some of those documents, but there's a lot of redacted information. A lot of the pages have been blanked out. And so where the information is needed and vital for us to understand our own genetic history from the nuclear mutations that have gone on from the 12 years of testing from 1948 to 1956. So it says online that could be different. But I'm here to speak on behalf of the Marshallese worldwide. How we greet each other on the Marshall Islands is a local greeting, Yokwe, Y-O-K-W-E. And that means you are the rainbow in the Marshall Islands. So if you can imagine yourself on a beach out on a deserted island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, paradise, right? And then, boom, you witness what looks like the sun rising out of the earth. And then you feel it. You feel the sun rising out of the earth. So I'm here to share that story, that history. And I've worked with a few social justice groups and nonprofits, and I advocate to raise awareness for Pacific cultures affected by the rising seas. So I will continue. I will cover what we know, the people, and what can secure a nuclear-free future for the Pacific.
If we can secure a nuclear-free Pacific for the Pacific, we get that. Let's just be honest. Post-Fukushima, there is no nuclear. And frankly, post-Marshall Islands, there is no nuclear-free Pacific.
The idea behind the nuclear-free Pacific was to get at least one part of the world, a region of the world, nuclear-free for an extended amount of time, and to keep continuing to fight for nuclear freedom. Even though you are correct, there really is no such thing as being nuclear-free this day and age because of all the exposure we've been exposed to
since the 40s. To be honest, though, two bombs in World War II were a drop in the bucket from what the experimentation did. So we're all scared of we're going to have a nuclear bomb again. Well, what the fuck? They're not even worried about the contamination they created 60 years ago. And this is what I wanted to ask you about now. In the Marshall Islands, because this is the lie, everything's fine. The people are fine. Everybody's healthy. If they have their own little world, they're learning how to be. I know somebody who literally said, these people are lucky we bombed them into the 20th century.
No, that is not true. There are unheard of genetic mutations and stillbirths at the highest rate ever.
In
the world, still, just because of per capita, there's only about 70,000 Marshallese worldwide, and a little under 50% of the population has experienced stillbirth or some type of traumatic childbirth experience. And in the Marshall Islands, it's kind of taboo to talk about those things in a family setting.
Why?
It's been church repressed. The church has been there for a long time, and what do they call it?
The Vatican, savage, of course. The Vatican really.
It's a savage practice.
What's a savage practice?
To communicate how your environment after the testing is affecting your reproductive system.
It's considered a savage practice because you're talking about your body.
Well, we have to understand the people of the Marshall Islands back in the 40s didn't have words for what they were feeling and how they were to express what the child they were giving birth to. They had to compare it to a mango or breadfruit. And the Navy doesn't understand that this woman just came up and gave birth to what looks like a breadfruit. To them, it's a joke. Does that make sense? Like to the military, it's like, oh well, you're preparing your food wrong. It has nothing to do with testing.
What they did, Thaston. They knew exactly what they're doing. It's gaslighting at the highest level. It's abuse. It's physical violence. This is why we have such a horrible problem with physical violence in our country, because it starts at the top and it does trickle down. There is a trickle down. That is where it trickles down from. I mean, honestly, that's why it's so important for you. I hope that you will come back regularly, because our listeners do not get to hear from the Marshallese or anybody who's actually has family there or understands the
culture. I would like to come back regularly. I'm making sure the information I have is vital, and it's what people need to hear, so things start to change. Because we do need to contact the representatives, and we do need to make sure they know the impacts that this is having on them and their communities, because their voice matters.
Well, look, so, let me ask you about these documents that you have. Is this something we can access, or do you have PDFs that we can put links into the show, like at some point in the future? Like, if you give me the links, we can put the links in the podcast so that people could actually read the documents for themselves, because a lot of people like to do that.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
I mean, how hard is it to get these documents?
I'm going to be honest with you. I researched Marshall Islands nuclear history almost twice a week. I'm on my computer and I'm Googling Marshall Islands nuclear history the last 24 hours, and whatever comes up usually is what I'll read through. And a lot of it changes from time to time, depending on the source.
So, Thaston, if you don't mind, I know you personally, so I think your story of how you found out about the Marshall Islands, because tell your story, because that's a fascinating thing. This is how the history, this is how the liars are able to get away with this, because they are rewriting history. Tell them how you found out about your history in the Marshall Islands.
So I was born on the Marshall Islands, on Majuro Atoll in 1988, and I was basically most of the time raised by my grandparents. And so they taught me a lot of Marshallese history and the culture, and my grandfather worked at a radio station, so he influenced me a lot, you know, working with him through his radio station. And there wasn't very much information on nuclear testing and radiation and the contaminants that are, you know, lingering in the atmosphere still 50 years later, when I was present and living on the Marshall Islands. And then we moved to the States out of kind of necessity. There wasn't a lot of resources on the islands, and it was crowded. There's about 30,000 people living on what was it, 64 square miles. That's pretty crowded. That's a lot of infested diseases and sewage and a lot of things that the island just couldn't handle. So my grandparents decided to move us to the United States. So my grandparents, along with about 16 nieces and nephews, moved to Seattle, Washington, where I was put into elementary school and all the way up to college. And that's where I learned from an anthropologist, Holly Barker. She spent about 20 years of her life working for the Marshallese people, the people of Bikini Atoll, to raise awareness for them. So they have adequate and just compensation for their loss of land and physical loss. So she sat me down, Holly Barker sat me down and told me that there isn't anybody fighting for the Marshallese people, that nobody's standing up and everybody's been silenced. The people that do stand up, they're stuffed money into their mouths and put back down. So if we want to see change, it has to come from the Marshallese people. And I feel like that really impacted me. Her statements really impacted me to the point where I am still 10 years later advocating for full disclosure of the information from the nuclear testing on the Marshall Islands. And I don't know if that'll ever happen, but that's that's I feel like that's one way we might better understand where to go with our future if we better understand our past. Because as it is now, all we know is we've been guinea pigged, and that's the history they're willing to give us, and that's it.
We've all been guinea pig. Let's be clear.
So I'm a little livid at this point because it's been what 70 years, and there's been more compensation given to people building the bombs in Hanford and in Los Alamos. There have been billions of dollars given to those scientists and people that were affected by the nuclear contamination from building the bombs. There have been more compensation for them than the Marshallese people. And the Marshallese people still live out nomadically on islands that the United States government moved them out to. And these are islands that aren't, there's no fishing grounds. The fruits don't grow, you know, adequately enough to supply the 34,000 people that live on the one island. Where there used to be villages of up to 700 to 1,000 people, now there's a village of just 30,000 people. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
And they're still out there.
That speaks to the idea that of the Western idea that they can just go in and go, oh, you're living on an island. We'll use your island and then move you to another one. And you can live just as well there because, after all, it's an island. Understanding that this is actually fertile ground. Like the Marshallese actually understood the Pacific. They knew where to live because where the healthy food was. If the United States had had any decency, they might have. If they had had any decency at all, they tell them the story of what happened, how they just drove past the island and did not help anybody. That's the astounding part.
So when they were conducting their testing in 1954, there was a test that was conducted called Bravo, and it was on Bikini Atoll, and they knew there were some inhabited islands downwind of Bikini Atoll during the testing. So there were people living on islands about, I don't know, less than 1,000 miles away from the test site on Bikini. And so the Army Corps of Engineers weatherman and a lot of other weather scientists knew that the wind was going to blow the radiation cloud towards on top of those islands, literally bullseyeing those islands. The cloud of radiation would go right over those islands, and they detonated it anyways. And so that cloud went over those islands and exposed those populations of people, Ramalup and Uduruk and a bunch of other islands on the Marshall Islands. They only list about 4 of them. There's actually about 16 that are affected. It's the whole Pacific Ocean that's affected, but they're only giving just compensation to 4 atolls of the Pacific Ocean. And you have to have been born and lived during those times of those testings. If let's say, for instance, I have a grandparent that was from Wujilang, one of the islands that was radiated, my grandmother is the only one that can receive just compensation. Nobody else in the family can receive it. So when she passes away, her compensation stops, even though her kids and her grandkids are affected by the same nuclear radiation that she was exposed to when she was alive.
These people are monsters. They are true murderers.
There is a program that the United States has put in place called the Nuclear Claims Tribunal. And it is basically a court for the Marshallese people to go to and put claims of their, you know, diseases and thyroid cancers and genetic disorders. They literally just go to court and tell the government what is wrong with them, and the government can assess that and write them a check for their loss. And like I said, there have been more compensations given out to the people that built the bombs before they were tested than the aftermath of the people that felt the testing.
How often are these people denied?
To this day, the Compact of Free Association, there is a part in the compact, there's an article in the compact that allows the United States to continue testing and continue their military operations in the Pacific. It's called the USAKA base. That's where they're continuing their testing. On the Marshall Islands, on Kwajalein Atoll, there's a base that the United States still runs their testing programs on, still to this day. And there is an article in the Compact of Free Association that allows the Marshall Islands to be an independent nation as long as we allow the United States to continue testing in the Pacific. So, and with that
article
in
place. Wait a minute, would you say that again? I beg your pardon.
So,
would you say that again?
No,
I want to get that term.
The Marshall Islands, before they became independent, they were a U.S. trust territory. And while they were trust territory, the United States conducted their 12 years of testing. And in 1986, the United States and the U.N. granted the Marshall Islands their independence. Now, while they were granting their independence, they gave them an article. It's called Free Association. So we, the Marshallese people and people from Micronesia, can travel and work and come reside in the U.S., but we can't vote.
European Union.
We don't have the right. Right, but we don't have the right to vote, and we can't, something else, we can't run for political office. Unless we're a dual American citizen, which is a whole travesty in itself to try to get dual citizenship. So it's still the article states that in order for the Marshallese people to have able granted access into the United States, there can be no more nuclear claims tribunal claims.
What?
So all past, all present, all future claims for nuclear tribunals are exempt because we are
that?
Allowed free access into the United States.
What
even,
year was
this
that?
This is 1986.
Wow. The Price-Anderson
so
Act on the Marshallese. Past, present,
and
future.
I think it was Reagan. I think it was Reagan that passed it because it's the Ronald Reagan Ballistic Missile Test Site. That's the name of it. And it's funny because they shoot missiles, Minuteman missiles. They're unarmed Minuteman missiles. It takes about $20 million taxpayer dollars to shoot one Minuteman missile, 60 seconds, to get from Vandenberg, California, to Bullseye, the Marshall Islands. I think the last one was in September.
September of when?
Last year.
2015?
Yes.
They sent they sent a bomb directly to the Marshall Islands last. Wait a minute.
Still.
Is that what?
Still going
is
on.
That for real? No, you're telling
like,
me.
I'm dead serious. And
you're
and
still
to,
doing
to make
target
it,
practice on the Marshall Islands.
To make it even worse, there were activists protesting outside the gates of Vandenberg, and they were arrested. And no news media, no coverage, no nothing. I don't know where those people are. That was a year ago.
What month?
September. September 23rd, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, man, that was right after I started my show. I think I started my show. You should have called me, brother. Like, we would have had you on the air immediately.
I'm learning as I go.
Last year we knew each other, but you probably weren't used to being saying, "Hey, I'm going to be on the air. You know, you're on the radio. Let me be on the air."
Had I known that this information was as vital as it is, I would probably be on more radio shows and more boxes talking and just expressing how I feel about this because this does help me process through it. It definitely helps me.
Well, I'm glad.
Get through the information, but it's still like I'm the only one going through this information.
I have a question to ask you about this testing. Does it have nuclear weapons on it, or is it just regular DU? I think they're using depleted uranium bombs regularly now. I think
they've changed. The 12 years they conducted the testing. Now, if you can imagine, from 1946 to 1958, the Marshall Islands underwent 67 thermal and atomic nuclear tests with the firepower equivalent. Now, 67 tests with the equivalent firepower of 1.6 Hiroshimas every day for the span of 12 years. Can you imagine that? That's over 4,300 Hiroshima bombs.
This is why they don't give a crap about Fukushima. This is the answer. They know
it's
they
already
have
happened.
Bombed us to
They've
10
already done here. It. Mm-hmm.
And I quote,
all in the name of God and for the betterment of mankind. This is the military talking to my people, getting them to lease over their land so they can conduct these tests.
Who are these monsters that don't even speak out? We should have scientists that are only dedicated to overcoming the pollution, the nuclear pollution, figuring out ways to neutralize the fission, the catastrophic events to our DNA. I mean, it's not like we don't have the power.
To this day, there still has not been a baseline study to see what the amount of radiation lingering in the Marshall Islands is. Still, to this day, there has not been a study conducted that has sent scientists to go study the land and study the effects of what radiation has done to the people and to the land of the Marshall Islands. There have been more boats that the Department of Energy sends boats out to the Marshall Islands to study the females. Let me repeat that. The Department of Energy sends out a medical boat full of scientists to study specifically the females.
The
female. Doesn't matter what age.
They're studying
female
women.
Reproductive system.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're studying right now.
That's what they've been studying. That's what they send the boats. The Department of Energy has been sending boats to the Marshall Islands.
You know why they're doing
the
that? They're trying
system.
To figure out how to fix the DNA of it all. That's what they're doing.
Well,
they're trying to biotechnology us all using
so
nuclear
before,
energy. God
before damn. Before they dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they were conducting experiments in Arizona and New Mexico. Now, the more study and the more research I do, it just seems to keep going back to the same 3 to 4 places. With the place in New York, the island, I forget the name of it, where they were doing human experimentations.
Oh, yeah, I do. Me too.
Yeah.
The name escapes me, but go ahead. I'll Google it.
Okay, some island, and then there's a place in Arizona, and there's a place in New Mexico, and Hanford in Washington.
Where they do human experiments?
Those are places that the United States has detonated nuclear blasts and sent soldiers walking through and towards the blast site. So the public found out about this. This is in the 40s. This is in 38. This is way before World War, during the brink of World War II, before Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. This is United States in its own country conducting experiments on its own soldiers. So the public finds out. The public gets ear of this, and they protest and petition, and they contact their representatives, and by the masses, they boycott. So the testing has to move elsewhere. The United States decides, just receiving the trust territories of the Pacific, to move the testing out of sight, out of mind, into the Bikini Atoll of the Marshall Islands group to continue their research. So you can imagine those two.
They knew what they were doing.
Detonations. They knew it. They knew what they were doing. It was all planned and lit. It's all in the books. There's pages and pages and documents of them going through meetings and years of meetings, and this is what comes up. So it was all planned. It literally 67 tests counted down. Can you imagine counting down 5, 4, 3, 67 times? There isn't, you don't just accidentally,
you know what, Dana Durnford says the same
set
thing.
Off a bomb.
You know, there's a doctor who's been testing dogs for 28 years to see how small of an amount of plutonium and the various americium, all these different highly contaminated, how small of a dose do you have to get for it to not be harmful? He's been testing dogs for 30 years, and Dana is so right. He's like, what kind of monsters work there? Year after year, after 25 years, don't you get it that it's probably not working, that it's not a good idea? Like, when are you going to – what kind of people can drag those dogs out dead year after year after year and continue working there? What kind of souls do they have?
To continue on, they moved it from Arizona. So let me – your animals are going to come into play here in a little bit, because they moved them from Arizona because they were testing on soldiers. So they stopped because the people of the United States petitioned and contacted representatives and stopped whatever they needed to do to get them to move. So they moved. And the bombs were constructed and continued to be built by tax dollars, either at Hanford or in Los Alamos in New Mexico, and traveled up and down the freeways, unbeknownst to the American public, by tax dollars to loading docks under the cover of night, where they were then transported to the Marshall Islands, along with over a metric ton of film and cameras to record it all. Where is that film now? I would like to know. And live animals. Wait, did you hear me?
Yeah.
on top of the metric ton of film and cameras, they also sent live animals.
I
Wait,
know,
live animals?
but there's
That's
that
not right.
film that you shared with me called Half-Life. It's written,
Yep.
it was produced by an Australian. It was like 1982 or something. And they actually show this. And frankly, they actually, he does a good job of like having the people who were in charge. He has film footage of the generals and the attorneys. And honest to God, if you look at these people's faces, they look like mad dogs. They are
They do.
lust, bloodthirsty
You should
dogs.
see the faces of the people that are running the government of the Marshall Islands today. They are that face you just described, that's the face I see. And the live animals that were put on the boats, along with the film and the bombs that were to be detonated on the Marshall Islands, the public found out about the live animals, that they were going to be testing baby goats and pigs. The United States was going to test baby goats and pigs to see and use them as guinea pigs to see what the effects of radiation was on those animals. And the public found out. And they wrote letters and they contacted the representatives and they boycotted. And what happened? All those animals got sent home or to the slaughterhouse, whichever one the government sent them to. But still, they had an itch. They wanted to find out
But the people
what
were not
happened
told
to the
about the
kids.
human beings on the island.
No. They didn't know. They
They
were
were told that the
now.
people were moved off the island. Because I
Yes,
remember
yes,
that. I remember being
yes.
told that in history in
But
high school.
you, yes, but they only speak about a specific village. They only speak about a specific group of people. Now, on the Marshall Islands, villages can run from anywhere 700 to 1,000 people a village. That group of people they're talking about was just one of the villages. There is a group, a collective of villages all around them. So they only moved a certain amount of the people that wanted to be moved. There are still inhabitants. There were still people living, breathing, doing what they were doing for thousands of years on those islands while they were conducting the tests, but they don't say any of that. So to get back to the live animals that were sent home because the people protested that they can't use live animals, so the government still had an itch. What? How do we find out what the effects are of the fallout on the human body and the reproductive system? So to better gain knowledge, they just continue their testing, knowing that there are people there. Now, Greenpeace found out about this, I think, in the late 80s, and took it upon themselves to go move the people of the Marshall Islands, because the people of the Marshall Islands were petitioning. They were writing the government. They were writing the UN. They were writing every avenue they could to get just compensation and justice for their people and the travesties that they've been put through. And the only people that come save them are Greenpeace. And all they, Greenpeace came in and literally moved thousands of Marshallese off contaminated soil onto non-contaminated soil still within the Marshall Islands. So without
Wow.
Greenpeace doing that, I don't know if a majority of the population of the Marshall Islands would be there today. I honestly do not think that anything would have been done had Greenpeace had not stepped up. And that boat that moved those people was bombed in New Zealand years later.
Why do you
I'm
think
not saying that it
Greenpeace
was.
now has been so silent about Fukushima and sort of like, honestly, I've been very angry at Greenpeace. I've really
You
gone
know,
after them.
the more I do this research, the more I feel like people just want to play innocent. They know the information, they know what happened, they know what's going on. They just they're it's better not talked about. Is what I'm understanding. Now I have to take this information to my mother. I love her to death, but she will not listen to me. She just doesn't want to hear it. She would rather search, ponder, and pray. Those are the guidelines that have been given to mass amounts of indigenous populations all over the world, not just the Marshallese. So I feel like this is information that is my history that I need to understand to tell my children so they understand where they come from. And yet, in doing so, telling my mother about what I'm researching, she's livid. She doesn't want to hear about it. She'd rather I
Really?
go get a 9-to-5 and pay my taxes and make sure my car payments are paid for and I have rent. And those are,
Kids, yeah, everything that we all have to
it's
do. So she does not want
everything
you
we have to
to
do.
take time
And this
out
is
to
a
talk
waste of
about
my
this.
time. Yep, this is a waste of my time to raise awareness for the
Well, I've had the same thing. People tell me the same thing. So join the club. Like anybody who's an activist, we all have to support ourselves, and there's no big sugar daddy for activists. So we all have to decide we're going to have to do double duty. I mean, very few people can actually make enough money to live. I mean, that's why these nonprofits, these NGOs, like these guys, like, yeah, I'm making 500 grand from NDRC. You know, let's work with the nuclear industry. Wink, wink. I mean, when you get to that point, it's really sad. I mean, why hasn't? But see, even with Greenpeace, I don't believe that they have a right to just like say nothing anymore about Fukushima. It's been 5 years. Fukushima, okay, so there's nothing we can do about it, but we need to tell people you are in grave danger. And it is accumulative. It piles on. It is a much more serious thing than, oh, well, we had the Marshall Islands bombed out. At least it ended. Right. It was a 10-year period.
It just seems like there's always another story to follow up the one before, and it's just as worse, if not worse.
Yeah.
It just seems like there is if Greenpeace was to cover Fukushima, how many other incidents around the world are being put to the side because we need to talk about this one incident? I feel like there needs to be a continued conversation, not just on Fukushima, but you know, a lot of what we consider travesty around the globe needs to be brought up to light, and not just. I feel like, you know, in the United States, there's the Black Lives Matter movement, and if one black person gets shot in a city where thousands of black people have been shot over the past 6 months, you know, it's like what was it that one news story? What made it that apparent that now it's weeks long worth of airtime for the media? So it gets to me what is put out on the media and what is put to the side, because a lot of what's put to the side is literally vital information that affects our health on a daily basis, and we'd want to hear more about you know, strategic war games or who's got the most oil in the Middle East, or, you know, whatever news story is more prevalent. We want to hear about it more because we're conditioned to, instead of hearing about all the little news stories that, you know, have been redacted and taken out.
Well, so the whole point of the news is not really, it used to be called journalism, right? Like that's the difference. Right. And you know what, this whole thing, there's going to be a movement that's going to start, speaking of Black Lives Matter, it's called the Injustice Boycott, and it's going to start on Monday. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, there's over 75,000, I know I joined, in over 50 states that are preparing to participate in the boycott, and it's going to be kicked off. But the thing is, it's talking about like the violence, this whole thing. It's just so, I actually believe fast and very strongly that the police state violence goes hand in hand with the nuclear liars. I think that that's all, like, think of this, how I think that was an offense to the American people, if you ask me. Exactly, that the United States government did not, that misled the United States people to pay their tax dollars for 10 years to victimize and bomb innocent people and put it in the history books that they were all moved off the island. Don't worry, they were all safe, and that we just moved them back and that they were not affected.
No.
And
it
then
was all
to
for
give
show.
Them their freedom, force them to sign a document that said that they were no longer responsible. You know what I mean?
That's exactly outrageousness. What happened.
And recently, that goes in hand then, why the United States was able to get out of that responsibility for discuss that, the recent thing about the cap, the nuclear cap thing. Explain what that is and what the outcome of it is. Do you know what
so
I'm talking
the, about? So the Marshall Islands, are you talking about the Marshall Islands suing 10 countries?
Cap to mess with the cap, wasn't it, to like, because the cap is deteriorating out in the middle of the ocean. There's like, they buried
okay,
all this.
So we're talking about two different things here. There's a dome out on the Marshall Islands called the Runit Dome, R-U-N-I-T-D-O-M-E, Runit Dome. It is in the middle of the Marshall Islands on one of the atolls that they conducted their test, and it's literally a crater from one of the bombs, and they've excavated a top layer of soil from all of the islands that they, so the four islands that were affected by the nuclear testing, they went, the Army Corps of Engineers went and excavated the first 10 feet of topsoil and whatever vegetation was on top of the soil and moved it all into the dome. So the dome is basically a contaminated dump site from just the Marshallese contaminated soil. And it was, it's pretty bad. It's pretty heavily contaminated. And they did this, what, 70s, 60, 70, 65, 70? Within those years, that's when they capped it and they cemented over it. Well, now it's leaking. So all that contaminated soil and dirt and debris and boats were put in there. Whatever debris was left out on the island and lagoon, they excavated it and put it into the dome and then cemented over it. And now, 30, 40 years later, it's leaking. And they're
in
not
the
doing anything
70s?
About it.
So they left that stuff there for 20 years before they did anything with it?
Yeah. 20 plus years.
And they expect that the people of the Marshall Islands were not affected by the contamination that it emitted for 20 years?
Well, let me get you in on a little bit of a secret here. In the Marshall Islands, we consider ourselves contaminated already. In the Marshall Islands, the president in 1994 put out a PSA, a public service announcement, to the people of the Marshall Islands and to the world in general. If you would like to bring your radiated garbage into our islands, we'll dispose of it for you. No problem, thumbs up. That was a PSA by the president of the Marshall Islands in 1994. So we can collect your radioactive garbage because we're already radiated, past the point of anything coming back. Just bring your radiated garbage, we'll dispose of it for you, and you have no worries. That is a PSA announcement in 1994 from the president of the Marshall Islands. That is how bad it has been.
How affected are the people? I mean, I know my sister told me there's a lot of people with diabetes. That is a very current, and it's not from eating junk food, but it's from radiation. Radiation causes diabetes, being radioactively contaminated.
A lot of the health effects that the people of the Marshall Islands face comes from years of displacement, lack of diet, starvation. They've been moved on the islands where there is no food and they cannot provide for themselves, where they were on an island that did have an abundance of food and a lagoon with fish and ways of catching those fish. Now they're living on an island that doesn't have any of those resources. They cut down all the fruit trees, all the palm trees, so they can construct these concrete houses for 30,000 people. So
they cut down all the fruit trees?
They cut down everything. They burned everything down so they can build these bases.
Wow. So there's a base there. That's also what you're saying, is that there's a base there.
There is literally a United States base that houses, I think, about 17,000 U.S. soldiers. And on the side of this base is a golf course. They have yachts. There's a... It's a resort for the military out in the Pacific is what it is. And there's a fence that separates this resort. And on the other side of the fence are 30,000 people living on 64 square miles.
30,000 people,
so
64 square miles.
34,000 people, about, I don't know what 64 square miles is the size of, but it is not big.
What are
the
options
for
medical care on the islands? Like, okay, so
everybody's
affected.
There are no options.
What happens, they say, I know my sister was living there for several years. She just moved. But when she was there, she did this fund for this child. He was born with a tumor on his eye, and she said that many children, probably one in four, that was her number. She said, just looking around, looks like one in four of the children were born with a tumor. That's a common thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
They're born with a tumor on their eye and they can't see. One eye is just sort of shut. And it's a simple surgery. She was like, oh, well, it's a simple surgery. It's not a big mutation. But the problem is there's no medical facility that to get off the island. It's $2,000 and nobody has the money. So these children, like the child she was helping was 12 years old or 11 years old and had been half blind most of its life. So she did this fundraiser to generate $3,000 to fly him to the island, to fly his parents to the island, to another island, to a medical facility, get the free service. The medical care was free because it was undeniably caused by the nuclear catastrophe, the bombings that they did, the attack. But there was a lot of other expenses. So it took about $2,500 to $2,700. But the military wouldn't pay for any of that stuff, for the flight or any of that thing. So a lot of families just, they suffer that way. And the government attitude, the United States government attitude is like, well, it's not that big of an affliction. It's like the Russians saying, well, the kids are being born with 10 fingers. That's not that bad of a deal.
That's not bad.
That's not a bad mutation, so why worry about it?
That's beyond comprehensible. I couldn't even fathom. I couldn't understand that mentality.
So in your country, how many people are actively engaged? Like, you know, everyone's affected. So
Affected, but they're active in their own ways. I can say that for the work I'm doing, I stand alone, because not a lot of people want to talk the way I want to talk. Not a lot of people want to bring the information to light the way I do. Now there's poets and there's shipbuilders and there are nonprofit presidents and people that work in and around the Marshall Islands to raise awareness and much needed supplies, I guess, for the people to get medical assistance. But as it is, the Marshallese people are suing 10 nations for international nuclear negligence. That's basically saying that the top 10 countries in the world, including the United States, China, India, Pakistan, a lot of these nuclearly armed countries, aren't doing their job to decrease the number of nuclear weapons out in the world. This is something they agreed to in a UN conference, I think in France. And the Marshall Islands is literally holding them up to it. And their cases are being dismissed. The Marshall Islands takes these 10 countries to international court, and every single court case is dismissed.
Why?
Because the Marshall Islands, they don't have ground to stand on.
Because they signed that contract with the United States.
Right. The powerful countries are legitimizing and have ways of, you know, working through the legal system to drop the case. And the Marshall Islands is still pretty adamant. There's a group of attorneys that work with the Marshall Islands, and they've created a nuclear-free, it's called Nuclear Zero, where it's literally there are no nuclear weapons ever in production again. All nuclear sites are shut down. So this is something that the people of the Marshall Islands wants to see happen. This is something that needs to happen for the world to be a better place for the future of our next, you know, future generations. And it's being dismissed. Like, this is high alert. This is something that we need to be aware of on a daily basis, that our air, our water, our soil is being contaminated beyond our knowledge. And we need to hold these corporations and entities responsible for the devastation that we see on a daily basis, because it'll stop. They'll slow it down. But it's not until we stand up and say something that they'll see. And like this dome out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's been there. Nobody's doing anything about it. And the way the government decided to do something about it was send more garbage, send more radiated waste. I mean, where do we go off thinking we have an inexpensible amount of space to dump whatever waste we right. so choose? That's not acceptable. Like, whose idea was that to tell the president to make that commercial? Not the president, I for sure tell you that.
Right.
So
right.
There's somebody in the background. I mean, even in the 40s, when, like I said, there was a ton, literally a metric ton, probably more, of film, like Hollywood film, sent to the Marshall Islands to record every goddamn given moment on the Marshall Islands while they're doing their testing. Where is that film now? That's what I want to know. What does that film show? And why aren't they showing it? So in that film, in that footage, there is literally like the, what's that thing that goes snap, and it shows the time and the take, and it you know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Before they
the director's card,
the little cut thing, right? Well, they implemented that while they were asking the people of the Marshall Islands for use of their land to do the nuclear testing, and it's scripted. It's very scripted. The way the Americans talk to the Marshallese and the way the Marshallese talk back to the Americans, it's scripted. There is no way the Marshallese would say that in their own language to an American person. It's all scripted.
In that movie Half-Life or in any of these movies that we'll see, none of that old footage is real. None of it. It's all just forced. Wow.
No, it's all from the American perspective to show we are taking care of it. We are on top of what we need to be on top of, when really it's the opposite.
Well, Fasten, I'm going to put the link to nuclearzero.org in this podcast. And I encourage everybody that's listening to this to share this video, to share this podcast with as many people as you can. Really, honestly, our podcast is going to be on the UCY TV. It's also on YouTube. And please open the links and go to nuclearzero.org or go to Nuclear Zero and sign the petitions. We do need masses. And like I said yesterday, I'm going to take this minute, we have about 10 minutes left, to actually encourage everyone listening to this radio station to share it with your neighbors, with your friends. Make it a point to share it with at least 3 people a week. And that way it will get around, because this is information we are not going to hear anywhere else. I mean, we're citizen activists, and this is what it's going to take, because as we have heard in the last almost hour now, the United States government, since the inception of nuclear, has coerced and lied and manipulated every aspect of the information that we get. And we are now all victims. The reason I'm on the air 5 days a week is because of Fukushima. Not because our political system sucks, not because I was completely aware. It's because Fukushima has changed our lives, because it is still ongoing. And one of the things that I hear Thaston saying is that, unfortunately, it's still ongoing for everyone. It started with the 62 nuclear bombs for 10 years. And that's just our country, not to mention the other nations around the planet.
Right.
I mean, we have just, you know, that's a big thing also up in the Arctic that's unfolding. Mm-hmm. Is the nuclear waste has just been dumped up there, and they have done bombing and testing and just horrible things all over this planet.
The thing that sucks is all the contaminants linger.
Yes.
They travel up to the North Pole and they just linger there. And so whatever population, a lot of the natives of Alaska are seeing effects, not from the testing, but from the lingering radiation in the atmosphere.
Yes. Well, from Fukushima, that's for sure, because it blows right up to them first.
Too.
I mean, especially in the last 2 weeks when we had that big we had the earthquake in Fukushima a couple of weeks ago. You know, there is radiation in the air. It's probably settling down by the end of this week. But for the last 2 weeks, that's why a lot of people have gotten sick. You know, these colds that we get now, frankly, in my view, you know, people are getting cold and feeling sick and they don't feel well. Well, that's an indication that you need to detox, because you have been exposed to low-level radiation.
Now, I remember when I was before 2011, when I wouldn't feel good, you know, it would last maybe 3 days, and I could take it. It was bearable, but now it's almost like it lingers. It's a week long sickness, or it's a cold with a runny nose and some more symptoms that weren't like that before. So it is, and I spoke to a friend of mine who's going through chemotherapy, and he says that outside in the morning feels like inside of his chemo. The outside environment, when he goes outside, feels like what he feels when he's inside his chemotherapy.
Wow.
Those are his words. This is back in 2012.
Wow.
So ever since then, it's like you can taste it. There's a taste. There's a, when the trains go by, when I'm riding my bike and I'm sitting behind fumes, there's just like a you just feel
Well, you know,
disgusting.
this is the argument of the nuclear industry, Thaston. You're a young man. You're like, what, 27, 28 years old or 26, something like that. And so you're a young, you look young, healthy, you're vibrant, you have your own life, you are developing a family. And they look at you and say, well, look at him, he's perfectly fine. It has not caused any problem whatsoever. Because they deny your entire history. Like, you should be living on an island, living on a little boat that you guys make by hand, sitting on mats in an island eating fruit.
Exactly.
And that is the perfect life for your culture that no longer exists anymore.
Exactly.
I mean,
it is literally non-existent.
Right.
It has been replaced by motorboats and USDA imports. United States Department of Agriculture imports is what the Marshallese people live on. Because the fruit trees and the fishes that they used to indigenously hunt now no longer, they're no longer on the same hunting ground. Because those hunting grounds have been used for nuclear testing. So I guess one thing I would like to do is to, you know, just have the public be aware there is information out there. You know, Holly Barker is a great anthropologist at the University of Washington. Email her, call her, talk to her. She will inform you too until she's out of breath. She did it to me. I'm sure she can do it for you. And
Holly
there's a lot of
Barton.
Books out. Holly Barker.
Barker.
HollyBarker.
University of Washington. I think I'll give her a little email and try to connect with her because she is responsible for you. I mean, I was stunned when, you know, we've been friends a couple of years when you were telling me that you did not find out about the history of your people until you were like 19, 20 years old. And that put you in shock. Like you could not believe it.
It's where I was going to school. I was in college for electronic engineering, marketing management, you know, flying colors in all my classes. I had an architectural grant that I was applying for to get into architectural school. There's all these avenues that I was going for that kind of without this knowledge, I would have continued in. Does that make sense? Had I not sat in that class with that anthropologist and had she not sat me down and said, you're from the Marshall Islands, this is vital information you need to know, had she not have done that, I would probably still be on that course of whatever I was doing before she sat me down. So I'm very...
It changed your life, like me, with the Fukushima thing. When I found out about
Fukushima, it blew the doors open for me.
You can't, it's like Kevin Blanche says, you can't unknow. It's like you're post-ignorant.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You can't go back.
And I've been to a lot of Native American ceremonies up in Washington, and a lot of, you know, I've shared this history with them, not to this degree that I have in this past hour, but I've, you know, opened up my experience and gave them a little bit of what I knew, and their response to it was keep your eyes wide open. Never close your eyes. Always keep your eyes wide open no matter what you are doing because that's when they will catch you is when you blink. That's when they'll get past you is when you blink. And so
that's a good place to end here, man, because we have 40 seconds here, Dustin, and I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you will be a friend of the show and come back quite regularly. We have a much longer period of time that we can get people on. I really appreciate
information. I have so much information. I am disgusted by how much information I have that's classified. So thank you for letting me share it.
You're welcome. Well, look, I do encourage everybody to join us again, share our podcast, share our radio station. Please, let's make UCY.TV a very well-known station. Put your courage feet on. Thank you for listening. We can do something to stop them, and let's get active. Talk to you.